famous Phil Andrew Show. Here's Iggy Azalea. Trouble with Jennifer Hudson. How about that?
Oh, my God. Is this Jennifer Hudson in this?
Yeah,
what's that? This is Jennifer Hudson was in, I love when
right.
She was in the...
I should have known you were bad news.
This is not Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, that's Diggy Azalea there.
Most guys only want one thing.
Who is Diggy Azalea?
Diggy Azalea, Margaret.
Either way, though, I think...
All right, Phil, I don't know. I'm looking for Jennifer Hudson. Where's she?
She's in the song, if we just wait.
I loved her in Chicago, and she... There, right, okay, there. Right here. Oh, God.
Great, yeah.
Like trouble to me.
Christ, Margaret, you've just looked filled.
General, are you all right? Are you not having a stroke, are you?
How do you say that?
You said, this guy's a... It sounded like your jaw locked up. I don't know.
You don't want to see anybody's jaw lock, man. Never mind.
Oh, my God. You think that's funny?
Watch it. Come on.
Yeah, and baby trouble on
welcome to the Phil Henry Show.
So I won't have him sit there and go, your jaw locked up.
I see that. General Dunn said it.
What do you mean the General Dunn said it? What are you, a ramrod and a cattle drive or something?
A ramrod? What is this? Is this how we're going to?
I want to start. I want everybody to make a note here.
You want to start? You want to make?
Hold on. I want everyone to just note that every show starts off with an argument.
No, it doesn't.
No, Phil, we're here. What do you mean it starts out? What are you talking about?
Robert, would you agree?
Really?
So am I the only guy?
Yeah, no, we're doing having a healthy discussion.
Thank you, bud. We're having a healthy discussion. You see, Phil, you come from a traumatized background. You come from a background. Let me just get comfortable here.
Look, Margaret.
Excuse me. Let me get comfortable. Phil, you...
You know, I got a show that I got to start.
Isn't that interesting? Well, you know what? You can start your show in a couple of minutes. You come... I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, you understand. Phil comes from a traumatized... But you know what? I'm bored.
Yeah, Ms. Gray.
I was going to let you...
I'm bored. I want to talk about it, but you're standing there itching your...
Itching my what?
It looked like you were itching your...
Oh, Jesus, Margaret. Give the guy a break.
My itching my what?
He said itching your nuts.
No, I didn't say itching your nuts. I said it looked like you were standing there, Phil, with all due respect. Itching your nuts.
My nuts.
Oh, my God.
Margaret, what do you think Phil's going to... Nobody can understand it when you're whispering.
I'm not trying to say it out loud because I have respect for the audience. Is that so much to consider and to... Is that... You know something? I'm out of breath. Oh.
All right, what, you need to lay down or something?
I do, I've got to... Oh!
All right,
get my husband.
Not get your husband.
I'm out of breath, Phil, from all of this arguing.
Yeah, I'll get him on the phone right now.
Try and do it, Bud, without stuttering yourself to death. You can stutter yourself to death. Are you aware of that, Phil?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Well, now you are. You can stutter. I know a man that stuttered himself to death.
How the hell do you do that?
I don't know. There is something in the muscular and the glottal apparatus that causes one to... Can you turn this garbage down, please? Who is that?
All the Remains.
I love them so much. They're a very, very wonderful group. But when they drown me out, it is crud. It's basically crud that you have to pick out of your ears the way you would pick crap from a diaper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, your ears are diapers. You know...
No, I didn't say that.
Wait. Now, we're on to five different topics here.
First of all, I want my husband because I was breathless when I was trying to get some things said. You guys were forcing me to explain...
That was great. You probably need to lay down.
I'm trying to lay down. Don't look up my skirt.
Margaret, nobody's looking up your... Lay down on this thing over here.
Lay down on this thing over here. Ladies and gentlemen, let the record show he pointed to a filthy, most likely semen-stained couch. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry.
Hey.
Don't applaud that.
That is really, really... You know, you got it in for the show today. You want to embarrass me? Do you realize that we have, in the palms of our hands, a business opportunity that we need only be a little bit more adult to take advantage of?
You're saying clean up the content of the show.
No, I'm not saying...
Are you telling me that you're going to... Holy jeez, you're going to sacrifice the very integrity of this show for a buck?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just telling her, if you don't mind me referring to you as her.
I do.
Okay.
But great, better lay down on this other one here. Like maybe won't have no semen stains.
Thank you very much, bud.
You know, if I hear that one more time, guys, I'm shutting the whole freaking podcast down. We just aren't going to have a show today. How about that?
So you will keep the truth away from the people?
Now, that's not truth.
I am saying, Phil, when's the last time this filth pit was cleaned up?
Phil, you know, this place is... It is an absolute disaster.
Anybody watching us on Phil TV right now can see very clearly that it is a beautiful...
Yeah, listen, that's a blue screen. Yeah, you talk about a blue... the green screen. Then a blue screen.
Not a blue screen. It's a green screen.
You said a blue screen?
Blue... All right, folks, so you want me to get...
No, I want Bud to get Frank on the phone for Jesus' H sake. In the name of everything holy, in the name of everything that could be holy, and... Go, God! God!
Margaret, take it easy, will you?
Yeah. Hey, Frank, Margaret want to talk to you. Margaret want to talk to you.
Frank Gray.
Hey, Frank, it's Phil Hendry.
Margaret, where is he?
Frank, I'm right here. I'm laying down because I'm out of breath.
What happened?
Well, when we started the show, Phil began to ask me a lot of confusing questions and knocked me off point a bunch of times. I was set to make some wonderful points, and then he went, well, you know, Margaret, this, that, and then he had me lay down on this couch that I do believe may have, and I probably shouldn't say this.
Yeah, no, I wish that you wouldn't.
Are you talking about that, Phil? Oh, that couch, I don't know what, and God, I don't know who she's brought in there, if she's bringing in girlfriends, and she's, you know, but...
Well, I'm laying on the cleaner couch, but I think there are some stains on the other couch, and I think you know.
Is Phil there?
I'm right here, Frank.
All right, you know, just try to make him happy. I know that your place is, you know, I understand the couch doesn't have the... He's always saying, Jesus H. Christ, Frank, I got today at the Phil Hendry show, I wanted to lay down on the couch, but I'm sure someone just spooned it. And he's telling me that he guess you bring in girlfriends, and there was one, and he looked like a real slut, and so he was telling me that he said you should have seen her with him as he put his legs in the air, and she did it.
Okay, I understand, Frank. No, the couch is fine. There's no sex going on in the studio. Quite frankly, whatever sex goes on in my life is completely and totally verboten from the conversation, you know, so...
Well, that's it. I mean, Frank, everybody else is supposed to trot out their filthy underwear. Everyone else is supposed to trot out the pornography of their private lives. I'm expected to...
Oh, take a deep breath. Get him a cup of water.
Yeah, that's great. I'll get you a cup of water.
Please.
Get him some water.
I'm expected to trot out the very private aspects of our sex life.
No, I know that's a lie. I know you're a filthy liar. And
how dare you, Frank? You're my husband. You're supposed to back me up.
I'm not backing you up lying to Mr. Hendry and her audience, all right? She's doing a show, and all you want to do is get the glory and have everyone just heap the glory. You know what the stains are on that couch? They're glory stains from you.
Glory stains from me what?
They're glory stains from you spitting at a...
Holy...
Yeah, is he leaving?
Yeah, she just got up and left.
Yeah, he's leaving.
You're not leaving the whole show.
Maybe.
Frank, I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter to me. I got a meeting to go into here. Hey, I'm meeting today with Ted Bell. She's got a proposal for me. I got to get out of here.
Okay,
that's a fine how do you do for a husband.
Margaret, you know, he's just...
You know, my husband, Frank, you know, it's the way, you guys are all the same. You bond together.
From the very beginning of the show today, you had a problem.
Well, hey, Phil, you're looking a little...
Oh, my God, you're tensing up.
Yes, I am. From the very beginning of the show today, you had a problem. Now, I'd like to... I want to solve all the problems, and I want to make sure that you're okay.
My husband just said to me that I don't... There's glory stains on the couch because I spit.
Well?
Well, what?
Do you?
Well, you dirty...
Watch it. We're going to take a break and we'll be back. We got Bob Bacon doing traffic. We also have on the show today a discussion with our close personal friends Art Griego as well as Don Mixa. Don Mixa is going to talk to us about being a reporter and why he eventually left the field. I bet you didn't know that about Don Mixa.
Don Mixa was a what?
He was a reporter.
You've got to be putting me on.
No, he was a reporter, and he's going to tell us about why he left the news-gathering business and went back to school and got his degree in engineering. I think you will find it fascinating here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Who is, what is this? What did he, you got to be on, you know what I found? It was some of that ecstasy. Is that what these guys do?
Yeah, they probably, you probably swallowed ecstasy.
Yeah, okay. You sound like Chris Norton there.
Yeah, well, we can't sound like Chris Norton. That what it's called? Man, you think it's called ecstasy because you've been talking to Chris Norton about it. Shorty can't
get it. That's how Chris Norton says ecstasy. He says ecstasy.
I can't stop. Well, that's what it's called.
It's called ecstasy, man. Got me
obsessing the best. So what are you out there? You're dropping ecstasy? Or I bet you don't even know what it is you're taking. I bet you're just swallowing mouthwash, and you probably think that's bonded bourbon.
Hey, folks, don't forget on the Phil Henry Show, you have an opportunity to listen to us here every day with our podcast. You can also listen, though, behind the scenes. With a backstage pass, you can listen to our pre-show, which is every single day. We've got about a 30-minute pre-show where I just go off on personal, highly, highly, highly personal and very top-secret things about my life. And we have, of course, our video cast, which is absolutely a video shot of us doing a show. And right now, you may think I'm sitting here in a spacious studio. Well, I am. But I am wearing a shirt that's probably about a day old, and there's stains on it.
All right.
And also, of course, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of the greatest radio show in the history of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 20,000 hours now of archive material. We have our recent shows. We have our archive shows. We've got podcasts, so kind of bite-sized nuggets of our archives, the classic podcasts. You can listen to those. We also have our BSP pick of the day, so if you are, you know, looking for something to listen to and you don't want to go hunting through the archives, you can check out and see what we recommend. You might say that it's the editor's recommendation. It's the members recommend. I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, it's like a lot of, they say, this is what our staff, a staff pick.
You feeling better?
Yes, I'm, what's with you?
Well, a minute ago, Margaret, you were laying on the couch having a cow.
I was not having, I was laying on the couch because I was without oxygen, having to argue with, oh, God.
See, she can't breathe now.
Oh, God.
But Gray, better lay down.
Don't I know it.
Margaret. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry. I was going to say the, what was I going to say?
You were going to say the frill, the frill Henry. Drop it low.
Well, famous Phil Henry Show, you listen to Empire. This is the Empire cast. It's called Drip Drop. I hate this song. I hate it. Get Empire blows. Shut up, man. It does. Empire blows. It blows a dog.
Wow.
What is Empire?
Empire is a new hip-hop show. Why do you say that, bud?
Because it sucks.
Robert, what do you think?
I don't like it. It's too much like Glee or something, man. Yeah, it's all prefab and everything.
It's a TV show. It's a network television show. What do you expect? All right, who's that?
I got Chris Norton because you said that I could.
I didn't say to call him up. Hey, let me get Chris Norton here on the phone. You have him now?
Yeah, hold on. Hey, Chris. Yeah, Mr. Henry. Mr. Henry's right there right now.
Chris, how you doing? I didn't know that we were going to bother you with a phone call. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, sir. I was just on my break from lunch. And,
why did you call him?
Because I want to find out about ecstasy.
The drug ecstasy?
Yeah.
Bud thinks it's called ecstasy.
No, it's not. I have a nasal condition, and that causes sometimes people misunderstand what I say. It's called ecstasy.
Yeah, they said ecstasy.
Hey, man, you know, don't even go there with me, man, because I'll come down on you like a hot load, you know.
Oh, God.
Well, hey, you have to understand, I'm a sexual being, you know.
Chris, this is Margaret.
A minute ago, Margaret, I was just listening to the show. You were laying on a couch, and you were spitting out.
You know what? Never mind. Go straight to hell. I demand you hang up on him.
Mr. Henry called me, interrupting my lunch and everything.
Margaret, would you just go sit down?
You want me to sit?
Miss Gray, I didn't mean saying it. You were there. And
Phil was the one that said I was spitting a load of glory out.
Actually, I thought I heard Frank.
Who?
Frank.
Who's Frank? See, my husband's name is Frank, and what we're trying to do here now is to get you to articulate.
Yeah, look, Norton, it's the general show. You know, I don't have anything against you, son, but you have a way of pronouncing things.
I just want to ask a question, Mr. Henry, okay?
I'm right here.
Is her husband named Frank?
It's not Fran and it's not Frank. What's the name of the magazine that you like?
Well,
her husband's name is Frank.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay. What did you ask him?
The name of the magazine that you like. Your favorite magazine of all time. Your favorite men's magazine.
Oh, Swang.
See?
What is Swang? I've never heard of that.
Talk about Swank.
Well, I've heard of Swank. I read it religiously. What's that?
Is Swang is the way he's... What do you mean you read it religiously?
Well, it's... Nothing.
Swank. It's Swank, right?
Oh, Swank. I mean, you know, there's an awful lot of people who understand. I've never had this issue at all with a lot of things I say, Dickman.
Name's Dickman, not Digman.
I said Bud Dickman.
Bud Dickman.
Hey, man, you know, I'm starting to tense up here. You know, I'm liable to just go, you know. I am a sexual being.
Sexual peeing? So that's another thing.
Hey, man, I'm trying to say, and I'm trying to keep it together here, that I'm a sexual being, so that when I get pissed off, all I do, man, is I dump a load on someone, okay?
Would you please not say that?
Well, that's what happened, Ms. Gray. When I get pissed off, Chris Norton just drops a load, you know?
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me, Norton?
Oh, I mean, why would I kid you? Yeah, why would I kid you? You're my favorite turd.
That's not how it goes.
What?
That's not how it goes. I wouldn't shit you. You're my favorite turd. Not I wouldn't kid you.
Yeah, you know, you got that right, man.
Hey, man, you know something? Everybody calling me up on my lunch break. I'm sitting out here. I have a tuna fish sandwich. I've got some chips, and I also, I'm going to actually open up some of this Diet Coke, but I don't know if anybody wants that. I got an extra large bottle here. Hey, you guys, I got to eat my lunch. And with an extra large Coke. And
Yeah. We got it already, okay? You're trying to hit all those X's.
What? What a dick and a half, man. I mean, I say that figuratively. If anybody got a dick and a half, I do. I got a dick and a half a dick. And
we understand. Thank you very much, Chris. You cleared that up for us. It's called ecstasy.
That's right. And,
That still doesn't sound like it.
I don't care what it sounds like, Dickman, because everyone knows it's your mind. You were robbed of a brain back when you went through the tree up in Ojai, okay? So you were robbed. I mean, you were fleeced. You were fleeced of your gray matter, man.
All right, Chris, thanks very much, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Uh-huh.
All right, we got to get going here because I...
What do you have?
What I've got... First, Bob Bacon has been waiting, right?
Yeah, Bob Bacon's out there in the traffic, and Bob Bacon's gonna, you know, he's only good for so long.
Yeah, you better get to Bacon, otherwise he goes bad. He's the only traffic reporter I know. He's almost like cheese or something that you leave out in the...
All right, here is Bob Bacon and traffic. Bob, how's it going?
Well, all right, well, tell me, if you're going downtown, let's take the Harbor Freeway. Hey, you know what? It's a great day for all of you to go out blaring, and if you go blaring, make sure you've got a notice of porpoise up there, because the Long Beach Freeway is going to be wonderful down there at the Aquarium of the Pacific, where all the big giant fountains and the fun prom. Hey, Bob Bacon here with the traffic reminding you that if you don't sing, and if you're gone bound, you got dune, you are, and you got, oh, God, oh, I hate you. Bob Bacon, traffic.
Yeah, baby. All right, that is all that remains. And on the line with us right now, we're very happy to have on from the University of Washington up there in Seattle, Washington, is our friend Don Mixa. Don has been on the show recently to talk of different topics, and generally these are topics. Don, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Phil. I'm very happy to be with you.
Don, you someplace where you can talk?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Phil, I'm at the local Starbucks, and this is where I like to go table to table and talk to my students.
Well, Don, this is Margaret Gray. How are you?
I'm very good, Margaret.
Phil and I wanted to ask you, because you know I'm a reporter, about you having been a reporter and why you left News Gathering.
Well, it's a great story, and I told Phil I wanted to tell him about it. And I left News Gathering, and I think we live in a day and age right now, Phil, where News Gathering is looked upon with suspicion. I think that people are just not trusting news gatherers. I need to get the news. It's about facts are all that are warranted. And that used to be my code, my personal code, that facts are all that are warranted.
But the story that's interesting to me is that you got out of News Gathering.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Why? And I'm very happy to be talking to you, Don. Is General Shaw?
Yes, General.
But why are we talking to you about your ex-career end up?
Well, I can answer that, all right?
Yeah, all right.
We have Don on to talk about having been a newsman, because I think that, you know, there's this question out there these days as to what is news as opposed to what is editorial opinion as opposed to what is coloring the news with editorial opinion. Would you agree with that, Don?
I would absolutely agree that, and that's one of the reasons why I got out of the news gathering business and went back to school and got my degree in engineering, because I felt that facts are all that are warranted, and if I could have tattooed that on my arm or on my face or someplace where I could see, I would have done that.
All right. So what was the experience that drove you away from reporting?
Well, the thing is, yeah, can I get a black coffee? Actually, let me have a Cafe Americana. Huh? Yeah, Cafe Americana. Thank you. The thing that happened to me, Margaret, was it was 9/11, and I was in New York City, and I was there doing some writing. I was trying to get a news piece started for a national magazine. I don't want to mention the name of the magazine, but I can tell you that it was it was Time Magazine. And
wait! You didn't want to mention it, though.
I did not want to mention it, but then I thought better of it, and I decided that I would mention it, and but I didn't want to mention it.
But you did mention it.
Yes, I did. I did mention it.
All right. So you didn't want to mention it, you mentioned it. So what happened in 9/11?
What happened was after the buildings had come down, there were people gathered in a Starbucks that was close by, and I wanted to talk to them, and I facts were all that were warranted. There was an awful lot of rumor going on. So I walked into the Starbucks. It was the very close to Ground Zero. As you can remember, Phil, the buildings were coming down. There was dust and grit. And I wanted to get what it was like for them to be running from all of that collapsing building. And I said to the woman, I walked up to this lady. I said, "Were you just in that?" And she said, "Yes, I was." And she said, "I'm lucky to be alive." I said, "You better." That looks like it to me too, I'll tell you. And I said, "Listen, I want to get the facts, and I want to get them very, very clear from you." And I kind of moved right into her space a little bit, because I believe that as a writer, as a reporter, you've got to do that. Margaret, do you?
Well, I do find that, yes, if you are earnest and if you really zero in on the individual and they know that you're listening to them, they will become very, very, I think, honest.
All right. Well, I don't know what you said. Could you say that again? Because you used some.
What do you want me to say?
What did you not understand?
She used some big words.
What do you mean, big words?
General, we got it.
Well, what I mean is, I agree with you, Don, that when you show people that you've got their that they've got your attention.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And but you also want them to know that you're serious.
Yes, I agree.
All right. So, I didn't know there were some big words you used in there.
What big words?
I can't.
Phil, why don't you let it go, for God's sake?
All right, go ahead, Don.
So I was talking to this lady, and by the way, General, it's great, glad that you're here, and it's great to see you, too.
Well, I don't mean to be. I'm not trying to rain on your parade, but for Christ almighty.
It's great to see you, too.
All right, okay. So, Don, you were there near Ground Zero on that fateful day, September 11th, 2001.
I was right down there near Ground Zero, and I went up to this lady. I said, "Look, facts are all that's warranted." And I got right up a couple of inches from her nose. I said, "You got to tell me what happened. I want to know what did you see? Not just how you felt about it." I said to her, "I don't want to know just what you felt." And she kept trying to turn away, because I was getting to that place that most people are uncomfortable with. It's called telling the truth. I don't think people want to tell you all the truth. And she kept trying to turn this way and that. And I just said, "No, listen, facts are all that are warranted." And I said, and so she stopped me. I said, "I understand." She said to me first, she said, "Your breath is rancid."
She said what?
Yeah, she said to me that my breath was rancid or something. And I said to her, "I can, hey, look, at facts are all that are warranted here." And
well, but keep repeating fact. Did you have bad breath?
I can tell you that I am very hygienic, and that I brush my teeth. And so I think if I had bad breath that morning, that's got nothing to do with getting the truth. That's got nothing to do with getting the truth. And she tried to turn her head away from me, and I kept moving my mouth, which is what I'm speaking with, right to her face. I said, "Look, the facts are all that's warranted." I said, "I got to know. So you got to tell me." And she said again, your breath is, and so I, you know what, Phil? I realized what was happening. People, you can't get through to them. Not really. At least the Don makes a way. You know, I know a lot of reporters are very, very skilled at getting the, looking between the lines, that kind of thing. But for me, I need that direct communication. And so I said, look, you've got to, you know, and...
How far away from... Seriously, Don, how far away from her nose was your mouth? I mean, this is... It could be a very valid complaint.
Well, if it was a valid complaint, I don't... I can tell you I brush my teeth in the morning and...
Do you use mouthwash or anything like that?
Phil, this is not a discussion of Don Mixon, whether or not he uses mouthwash. I smoke, I drink coffee. My favorite thing in the morning, if I guess...
Well, right there, that's going to make your breath stink.
Well, what is? No, cigarettes and coffee doesn't, but I have a... occasionally, I have a cigarette and a glass of milk, and...
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, right there, Don.
Whoa, wait. I thought we were talking about journalism. I thought we were talking about truth. You want to actually talk to me about the smell of my breath? You're kidding, right?
No, but I'm telling you, a cigarette, I used to smoke, and a cigarette and milk right after cigarette, your mouth is going to smell like a dung, you know, like a dung pile.
Yeah, it's going to smell just like that the Japanese army spent the night in it.
Will you shut up with that, bud?
Jesus, that's a World War II reference.
I haven't heard that one since my father used to say that.
Well, I'm going to smell like some army slept in it.
Folks, you didn't have me come on the program, Phil, just so you could tell me which army spent the night at which...
Well, I'm, you know, we started this program off very roughly with everyone giving me a hard time, telling me that I spit out, and that's why there's glory stains all over the couch. If you have to know, I swallow, but that's none of your business.
Oh! Oh!
Oh, bud, grow up, will you?
God!
That was really uncalled for, Margaret.
Oh, is that right? You're the one that said I spit out.
No, I didn't. Ow, I punched myself in the mouth.
Nice going there. You, boy. Way to do it, Charlie Chaplin.
Boy, you should have seen it, Mixer. Henry just punched himself in the mouth. Holy sweet JC.
Phil, I don't know whether you punched yourself in the mouth to take things off of me.
Well, what if I did?
Because I want them to be on me, No, don't give me that look, bud. I'd strangle you.
Go over, Margaret.
God damn, man.
Don't take the Lord's name in vain.
I'm just trying to tell you that I was there at Ground Zero trying to get the story. And I kept saying to her, facts are all that's warranted, you know. I wasn't yelling. I was whispering. And I was...
So you were whispering in her ear?
No, I wasn't whispering in her ear, for God's sake, Phil. I'm a reporter. I'm not there. I'm not her boyfriend. I was face-to-face with her, but I was trying to whisper so that, you know, people would not hear. I said, facts are all that's warranted. You got to tell me. You know,
Don, I can see you breathing into her face with the stank.
I don't understand.
With a stank breath. You understand? Do you go to the dentist regularly? Or?
Yeah, I go to the... Let me tell you something about dentists, okay? You're going to get me on my favorite top. Dentists, Phil, are the absolute... Dentists are the carriers of more disease. And dentists...
Well, wait, that doesn't answer the question.
Well, I'm answering that. Dentists carry disease. I don't care if they wear rubber gloves. I don't care if they put a mask on.
Do you go to a dentist regularly?
I brush my teeth, all right? And I scrub my... I brush my teeth and my tongue.
But do you go to a dentist? I mean, what if you have tooth decay? What if you have,
What if? I don't live in a world like what if, Phil. I live in a world, and my breath is fine, okay? I always breathe into my hands.
You can't... When you breathe into your own hands, you can't tell what kind of breath you have.
Oh, is that right? I can't believe I just heard what I heard. You're telling me that if I breathe, in the morning, Phil, I'll be laying in bed, and I'll breathe out, I'll go, whoo, and I'll generally do that against a pillow, and then I'll take a deep breath. And yes, I grant you, it is pretty tough to take. There's no question about it.
Uh-huh.
But is that a monkey? Oh, I'm sorry. That was a child. I didn't mean anything by that, ma'am. Ma'am, I did not mean anything by it.
Jesus, your breath.
So right there, did you see that?
So your breath this morning is foul.
No, that's some ass. I said to this guy, I said, is that a monkey? And it turned out it was his kid. And now he's telling me I got bad breath? Fuck. All right, well, forget it.
Look, Don, okay, so you got out of the news reporting business because you weren't getting the truth.
I was not getting the truth. Every time I tried to get the truth from this girl, And she'd say, "You've got a rancid breath." I said, "I heard that. I know what you're saying. You know, I've got a rancid breath." I said, even if I did, which I doubt, but even if I had rancid, fetid, foul breath, it does not take away from the need for facts, because facts are all that are warranted here.
See, right there. The way you say facts are all that's warranted, I could see you breathing on that woman and probably gagging her up. God damn.
Yeah, what? You know, you probably gagged it up.
Well, I didn't come on the program to be insulted, Phil. I can tell you that.
No, and I don't... I'm sorry. We don't mean to insult you, and I would hasten to say to my mates here, my panel, but we're sort of stuck on this point.
Phil, when you get up, you got to get right into a subject's face, and you've got to say to them, facts are all that's warranted, you know. And when you say that facts, and your brain, you go, ha.
Oh, for God, if you've got halitosis or any kind of funk, any kind of breath funk, you are going to knock a... excuse me for saying this, but like my father used to say, you'll knock a buzzard off a shit wagon.
Yeah, well, that's right there.
Yeah, no question about it.
Well, I find that insulting. It's got nothing to do with me. I brush my teeth.
You've told us you brush your teeth, and you also told us you don't trust dentists, and the woman stands there telling you you've got rancid breath. Based upon that experience, you left reporting, you went back to college... You are now a professor of engineering at a major university. Let's ask you this. Are you happier doing this than you were then?
Am I happier doing what then?
Are you happier being a teacher?
I love being a teacher, absolutely, because you can work with students. And the great thing about being a teacher, and one of the things that I love about being a professor and being a teacher, is I can work closely with students. And students will ask, you know, Professor Mixa, can you help me with this? And I like to get right down in their space. And again, you know, facts are all that's warranted. If you are right next to a student and they're working on a project, they're building a model, they're putting together a plan or an architectural scheme, and you say to them, man, that's really good, but let's, because I believe in what I call the intimacy of planning. So if you're right up next to a student and you go, God, that is fantastic, you know, it really is. And I know what you're...
See, you're breathing all over...
No, I knew exactly you were going to say that, but that's... what are you trying to tell me?
We're telling you that you've got rancid, foul breath, and you're breathing it...
And is this something you people have been keeping back?
No. I didn't even know this. You're the one that brought this up. Do you have students complaining about it?
I have students complain about everything, Phil. Let me tell you something. Students complain about everything.
Do they complain about your breath, though? That's what we're asking.
Yeah, let me ask you this, General. Do people complain about your breath?
Sometimes, yes, they do.
Okay, well, there you go. It happens, okay? It happens.
Yeah, but we're talking to you. You're a guy that doesn't believe in dentists. You brush your teeth, that's fine, but that hardly knocks out bad breath.
Where do you get a... What? Get a load of this? Hey, I'm talking... Hold on, Phil. I'm talking to a guy here. He thinks that if you brush your teeth...
Okay, Don, can we stick with the conversation at hand?
All right. I was just talking to... I'm talking to Kennedy Llewellyn, one of my students. Yeah. How you doing, hon? Let me just... Hold on. Can you hold on for a minute, Phil?
Go ahead.
Kennedy, look. I think when you're doing it... Yeah. What?
Oh, fuck.
Okay. All right, she's going to get it. She needed some help.
I heard that young girl say the F word.
Oh, she's complaining. She says she's holding her nose and running away. And I said, well, you know what you're doing. I said, you're just denying your own talent. And,
But we heard you stand next to that girl.
I know you hit yourself in the mouth, Phil. It sounded like, wee, boop, beep, 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 beep. I could hear two swollen lips slapping together.
Well, that's about what it was.
All right. Nonetheless, I could hear you talking to that girl and saying, you know, you really got to,
I didn't do that. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, you did, Don. You're going, yeah, everything you do, you're breathing you're breathing goon breath on him.
What do you mean, goon breath?
He's trying to just be a smartass. If you're telling me I've got goon breath, then, friend, the whole world is in trouble, because when it comes to breath, I've probably got the sweetest, some of the sweeter breath that you've ever smelled it in your whole life.
I don't know how we would test that thesis.
Look, I'll tell you right now, I don't want to. And if you've got people from 2001 forward telling you to quit breathing on them, and you think it's because they're denying the truth... And then you got this lady just now, and you want to help her with the price. She says, you know, we heard the F word. She goes, oh, fuck, when she got a whiff of what came out of your mouth. And you think this is all about avoiding the truth.
I, you know, General, you can put any kind of a spin you want. If my breath is foul, And there are days. We all have foul breath, and there are days I've got foul breath. Look, I'm a big cheese fan. There's no getting around it. Everyone knows this. All my students know I like gorgonzola. And they know I like garlic, and they know I like onion sandwiches. This is not anything unusual. There are some days when you stop, if you don't have time to brush, you're going to get food particles stuck between your teeth, and they will putrefy. All right, okay, I grant you that.
Oh, my God.
No, I will grant you that. But that is nothing that other people don't experience. And I can tell you that at the end of the day, when I go up to a student, I say, hi, you're trying to tell me I'm wafting something funk in their direction.
What is that?
He's talking about me wafting the funk.
Yes, I'm telling you, wafting the funk. I don't know what that is.
That means breathing fetid stink breath.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
You guys have taken a career choice, and you have boiled it down to me needing to go to a dentist and have my gums worked on. God damn.
Yeah, see, right there you went, God damn. See, you're breathing it.
Wait, miss. I know you're not one of my students. I'm Professor Mixa. Hi, how do you do? Let me just ask you a question. Can you just... fuck! Well, that was rude.
Well, we could hear that.
Thanks a lot, Phil. It's been great talking to you. Don Mixa here.
Okay, Don, look.
No, it's been great talking to you.
No, but hold on for a minute. You're a great man for coming on with us. I do want to hear the story of your reporting, your changing careers.
I've been trying to tell you, and all you want to tell me is I got effed up. I've been trying to tell you that, and all you can tell me is I got effed up breath. And I think it's bad. Let me ask you something. If I blew down this phone line, anybody smell that?
Jesus.
Oh, shut up, bud.
No, we cannot, Don, but that's not what this is about. So you changed careers, darling, not because you couldn't get the truth out of people, but because you couldn't get close enough to your interview subjects, because your breath is rank. You don't go to a dentist, you don't use mouthwash, you let food particles putrefy, and you enjoy eating gorgonzola, garlic, and onion sandwiches. Fuck me.
Well, if you say so.
I'm gonna kick...
All right, hold on.
I can't listen to this garbage anymore.
All right, listen, Don, we appreciate you being on a show with us. I'm sorry that this has been a... I guess you could say this has been an experience of discovery, huh?
The only discovery is that I've discovered how gutless some of the students in my class... Hey, you. You're in my class, Phil. Can you...
No, Don, we got to get going.
Hey, you, come here. Phil, I want you to talk to Phil Hendry. I'm on the radio on the Phil Hendry show. Now, let me ask you something. You know, you're in my class, right? What's your name?
I'm Leopold.
Leopold?
Yeah.
All right, Leopold, I want to ask you something.
Oh, wow, man. Man, have you ever heard of a mint?
All right, I'm going to go get some mints here. I guess I got to put a mint in my... Oh, hold on, Phil, you're going to like this.
No, hey, Don, we got to get going, seriously.
No, you'll like this. Everybody in this Starbucks, everyone in this... I'm on the phone right now to a radio show. I'm going to go get a mint because everyone here thinks my breath stinks like a pig just let gas go. Is that right? Applaud if you agree.
Yay!
All right. Goodbye.
Yay!
They're applauding me as I'm...
Don, thank you.
Yay!
Okay, I guess he's gone, huh?
I think so.
All right, well, thank you, Don Mixa.
That's a waste of time. You got people that want to listen to this guy about his change in career. People do this. And instead, we got a big lesson in how funky and bad and wow.
The funk breath.
Well, I don't know what funk breath is.
All right, well, but you know what? That was an educational process right there because we found out why it is this cat was not successful as a reporter.
Well, we'll never know how good a reporter he would be. Because we'll never know, because he refuses to go to a dentist, and he's got,
you know, guys like that, they're just like, hey, you know something, you know, they're right up in your face, and they got rancid breath. It is a wicked, bad thing.
Yeah, but not a lot of people don't care.
You know, you're right, a lot of people, like, for instance, I don't care, but Mixa, he takes the cake. That guy...
You say you don't care.
I couldn't give a sweet damn. I'll go up to a guy and go, hi, and if it smells like something... If it smells like something took a dump in my mouth, good for them.
Hey.
I'm applauding myself.
Yeah, good. All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. And Art is going to talk to us about the Formula One, the world of Formula One. You know Formula One racing? You know about it, Margaret?
No, I don't know Formula. What is it again?
No, Formula One racing.
It's about race cars.
I don't know what that garbage is. All
right, well...
Oh, wait a minute. Formula One is the European. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, before Frank and I met, I can tell you this much. I cannot give you the name of the individual, but I had... Let's just say I had a very interesting summer with a Formula One driver from back in the day. I'm Margaret Gray.
Well, you won't tell us his name, huh?
No, I will not. No, I will not. You can stop now, bud.
All right, we'll be back here with Margaret as she and also with Art Griego as we talk about what will become of Formula One, baby, as Germany has lost its Formula One race, its Grand Prix. France has lost its Grand Prix. This is the biggest motorsport there is in Europe, and it's enjoyed by millions here in this country, and it may be going away. World famous Phil Henry Show. Like that, huh? Why you gotta act like a bitch? My name is Curly Jones, and I got a Phil Henry baseball cap, and I did that by going to his online store. I listen to Phil every day, and everyone always says to me, Curly, what are you listening to? I'll say, I'm listening to Phil Henry, and... Everybody on his show, I enjoy, and I laugh so much. I just do. And so when I'm done, every day I go to the online store at philhenryshow.com, and I buy a hat or I buy some memento of what I heard Phil do on that show. I really like it. And go to the online store. After you hear the show, go to the online store and buy a hat.
You can buy more things than hats at the Phil Henry Show online store. Motherfuckers can't see me.
Wait till this chick see me. He said a dirty... Yeah, we know, I know that. Curly just... Yeah, thank you, Curly. I'm Curly. All right, Curly.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Curly. You can... Lucky's going to be hanging around here. You mind taking some of these empty glasses out here?
Yeah, I don't mind. No, no, wait. Don't put Curly to work. I don't mind at all. It's okay. When I'm with you. All right, Action Bronson. It's called Baby Blue. By the way, I want to thank Allie Shepard of Miami, who... Allie is she's just like a guardian angel.
Well, this girl has been correcting your pronunciation because you've...
Yeah, Mr. A, you're butchering it alive.
You have butchered more. If you want to play hip-hop, I suggest you start to familiarize yourself with the artists.
Oh, okay, Margaret, you're absolutely right.
What happened?
I mispronounced. It's Wallet, it's not Whale. And then it was Florida, and I was saying Florida. What do you want from me?
Yeah, Mr. Ray, I mean, maybe you're too old to listen to hip-hop.
I'm not too old to listen to it. I'm probably too old to be able to pronounce it, that's all.
Well, what does that mean?
Exactly what I said. You know, some people are too smart for certain things. Nobody is too stupid for certain things, but some people are too smart. All right.
Well, Phil, I think that if you are going to play the hip-hop, I'm familiar with hip-hop because I'm in the entertainment business as a journalist. So I know the music and I know the people that produce and like the Iggy. I suppose you're going to point out the fact that I'm carving it up.
Yeah, you know about how to say it.
I know how to say her name. She is one of the top hip-hop artists and...
Yeah, what's her name?
Don't you dare try to pin me down.
No, Mark, you didn't feel all.
Her name is Gig... Her name is Digby...
Digby Azalea.
Yes, Digby Azalea.
Digby Azalea.
Digby Azalea. What, did I get it wrong?
No, you didn't, Ms. Gray. It's Iggy Azalea.
I knew... Yes, it was Iggy Azalea. I knew that it was Iggy Azalea. I knew that it was Iggy Azalea. This is it right here. Didn't you play this already?
I did. All right, thanks, bud.
Yeah, it's got gospel music in it.
It's very nice. We're about to get on the line here with Art Griego. You can turn it off now, bud. Thank you.
I thought it was really good.
I love the are you saying that that's gospel influenced?
Well, I would think a lot of the young people, you know, gospel music influences. What am I talking about this shit for? I don't care.
Well, yeah, it is gospel.
Well, that so that was Digby, or not Digby?
Iggy Azalea.
Oh, okay, Phil, Iggy is there. And by the way, if you don't mind me saying so, Phil, you were talking a moment ago with Don Mixon. His breath, wow.
No, my breath is fine. My breath is fine. I use mouthwash. I don't smoke.
Well, something is wafting him. Oh,
What? Oh, wow. So a guy can't have a red onion sandwich, huh?
So it's your... Oh, God. You already know I'm in a weakened state.
Miss Gray, you better lay down there. Don't lay down on the glory stain couch, though. Yeah.
Yeah, how'd that feel?
All right, we got Art Griego on the phone with us. here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm going to be talking with Art as he joins us here. We're going to talk about the Formula One, man, and what has happened. What hath God wrought with Formula One? That's the wrong... Art, are you there? You got the wrong... That line is open still.
Yeah, that's Don Mixa.
I don't want Don Mixa. I want Art Criego.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, here he is. Hey, Art, can you hear me?
Art Criego.
Can I use the phone?
Go ahead.
Greg, I'm not seeing him back, man.
What is that, bud?
I'm doing code.
Art Criego, Roger Fang.
What did you just say?
What are you saying? You said Art Criego, what?
I said Art Criego, Roger Fang. It's nothing, but I'm making it sound like a rape. Give me that!
Hey, Art,
Art Criego.
Oh, sorry, Phil. It's all right. I apologize. I was out on the runway here. We were taxiing and pushing a plane out here. I apologize.
All right, not a problem. We wanted to find you because we've got a little bit of time here to talk to you this morning about Formula One. Now, a lot of people don't know the sport of Formula One. I'm a big fan of Formula One, and perhaps you can give us the... First of all, describe to people what Formula One racing is, and then tell us what's happened to the sport.
Well, Phil, in a nutshell, Formula One racing is the motorsport, the open-wheel racing of Europe, and it's a road race. It is not an oval track, although today in America, the closest thing that we've got to Formula One racing is called IndyCar. IndyCar is open-wheel.
Now, when you say open-wheel, you're talking about those cars that...
Yeah, the wheels is open!
I'm not talking to you, bud, am I?
Well,
I'm not talking to you, am I?
Yes, the wheels are open.
Right, Margaret. The wheels are, they're not covered. There's not a standard classic body, the body styling that puts the wheel in a wheel well. They are open wheel automobiles, and they look similar, Indy cars do, to Formula One. There are slight differences. The tire size is different. And
why is that?
Well, because you've got constant left turns happening in Indy car racing. Whereas in Formula One, you don't. And there's engine size, there's carburation, there's fuel differences. Now, the Indy cars, it is true, they go on a road race course.
Now, when you say a road race course, you talk about a course that is what? It's all curlicue and all of this nonsense, right?
Oh, yes, General. It's well, you say curlicue, but it's a road race. It has turns, it goes left, it goes right, it has straightaways. In other words, it's similar to the old roads prior to the building of throughways or autobahns and things like that in Europe. These were the old roads of Europe, and that's how they race it.
Now, Formula One, unlike IndyCar and certainly unlike NASCAR, the speeds are not that great, correct?
Well, the average speed in Formula One, Phil, is the average speed is only going to be, sometimes it's below 100 miles an hour.
What? There's no fun in that.
You talk about a below?
Yeah, well, that's average over the entire course. So if you've got a course that's about 2 miles long and it's mostly twists and turns, you're having to downshift and go and everything like that. And if you've got nothing but straightaways like you do in Indy, like at the Indy 500, which is coming up here at the end of May, you can really open it up.
Yeah, now like the NASCAR where they have the oval... racing.
Well, NASCAR, those are the big stock cars that the Southerners, is that what that is?
Yeah, mostly the Southerners.
Yeah, a lot of Southerners do it, but a lot of guys in the North, too, and they go around really fast.
Yeah, NASCAR is really fast. The speeds are topping 200 miles an hour average. So, Formula One, though, is a real classic kind of racing, and like I say, it's it represents the world championship of driving because there's more... that is demanded of a driver, I think, in Formula One.
All right, so that's a very interesting point. You would say, and I know that they have their championship, and it is the driver is crowned the world champion, but certainly not the world's champion of all racing.
Well, no, but I think it should be, because Formula One racing demands more of a driver than any of the other kinds of racing. You have to be able to negotiate hairpin turns. You've got to be able to... obviously, you need to be able to work that manual transmission and downshifting and upshifting, and high speeds are reached in some instances.
They have straightaways.
What do you say, instances?
In some instances, I said.
They have straightaways in Formula One racing, right?
Yeah, they do. And in fact, the Long Beach Grand Prix that was out here You know, that used to be a Formula One.
Now, why'd they change that?
Because most Americans, I don't think that the teams wanted to come over here. It cost too much money. But all of this is very interesting, but I'm disappointed because I wanted to be, I'm retired. I was going to be I was going to take up Formula One racing. I had some interest from some people that might have been sponsors. And now,
I'm reading is that Formula One's in big trouble. Germany lost its Grand Prix. They can't afford it, in other words, right?
Well, it's a very expensive sport. And, yeah, the German Grand Prix has gone away. The French Grand Prix has gone away.
So you say Grand Prix, is that the one where I see, like, the Monte Carlo and all that nonsense?
Yes, that is it. And look, I've got to jump in here, all right, because these guys don't get it. You and I do. I was, for one summer at least, on the arm of one of the prominent Formula One racers in Europe, and this was in the late 60s, before Frank and I really got serious.
Can you tell us his name?
I can tell you his name begins with the letter J, and that it was Jacques.
So why didn't you just say Jacques?
Why don't you...
Yeah, I mean, you said it begins with J.
All right, it began with a J, and then I rethought, and then I thought, well, fuck it up. Not fuck, no. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Margaret, you don't have to get all filthy-minded about it.
I'm not what do you mean filthy-minded? His name was Jacques.
All right, so you don't want to give us his last name?
I'll give you his last name. His name was Jacques Coo.
Jacques Coo. Do you know that name, Art?
Wait, you don't have to ask him. You don't know the name Jacques Coo.
Well, I don't know the name Jacques Coo. You talking about Jacques Coo, like Cousteau?
No, did I say Cousteau? That guy was wearing a... That guy was snorkeling all over the world. He wasn't a race car driver.
I don't know the name. It's very possible. I mean...
Oh, thank you. It's very possible. So it's possible I'm not lying. Oh, my God.
Margaret, I'm sorry. We just didn't know the name. So Jacques Coo...
Well, you know, it's interesting that Coo is also a slang for, well, I better not say...
Yeah, certain body part.
You guys deserve to die screaming. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Boy, that was...
I deserve to die screaming, huh?
Yes, you do.
All right, so let's get back to Formula One.
Yeah, Formula One, Phil, was my dream. I wanted to ride... I wanted to drive in Formula One. There hasn't been an American champion, world champion, I don't think, since maybe Mario Andretti. I mean, it goes back that far. So Americans, any American driver that could dominate Formula One would be quite a feather in the... but now, I guess no one cares because...
Is the interest is not there, just the money isn't there?
No, there's money elsewhere. So the Formula One's going away from Europe, but now it's Bahrain, and now it's Mexico.
Oh, yeah, they've got... I just read they got the Chinese... Get a load of that, they got the Chinese Grand Prix. And, of course, I'm not going to be racist and say, can you imagine a Chinese guy sitting in one of those Formula One cars... Is that what I'm saying?
Well, General, there's no truth to the peripheral vision thing.
I didn't say there was. I just think it would be jarring and frightening to see a Chinese guy... Never mind, you know.
Well, what kind of a fast vehicle could a Chinese guy be in that wouldn't shock you?
Well, I would... like a rocket ship. You see a Japanese guy or a Chinese guy in a rocket ship, it makes sense. You see a Chinese guy or a Japanese guy in some kind of a space vehicle or a flying saucer, you know. But if you see one sitting in a race car or in a motorcycle, my God, you want to begin to peel. You want to eat your own lips, you know.
I don't know, and I don't care. You know, if I never go to a Grand Prix again, I certainly don't want to go to one in China. Not because I don't like the Chinese, but. I agree with you. It's too weird, and they're probably going to be really good at it. And that will put the nail in the other part of the coffin. I've already got half the lid nailed down on top of me. Now we go to China for a Grand Prix, and you might as well go ahead. I'll reach up out of the box. Oh, shit.
You're very emotional about this.
Yes, I am.
You're saying you reach up out of the coffin and nail your own self in?
I would, yeah. I would reach. You'd just see an arm with a hammer in it and nails, and I'd pound... myself into the coffin. I thought you'd gone off, Margaret, to take one of your very famous D-U-M...
Don't say it. Yes, I did, and I'm back. I want to say something here, Phil, and I think I speak for everyone. You guys really... Fuck it.
Well said.
You know, I was going to say it, but I won't.
All right, so Grand Prix racing But and yet you have a tape I think you sent to Bud.
I do. Bud, have you got that tape of me? Now, this is, I think, a very interesting, and I think it's a very interesting and a very educational sound. This is me as I was racing around the circuit during the days when I was practicing. And I was very, very hopeful, Phil, that I would be a part of the Grand Prix circuit. And as I said, I was getting some interest from, a number of people. And I had in the car with me Barbara Lundin, who is a writer for Speed and Speed and Speed Yet Again magazine. This is a magazine that is published by one of Steve Bozell's, Steve Bozell, the guy who's on your show a lot?
Yeah.
It's published by his brother, Dan Bozell.
It's called Speed and Speed Yet Again.
Yeah, it's kind of a family slogan. Let's say Bozell and Bozell Yet Again. So she was out there. She's a writer, and she's in the jump seat. Now, this is a Formula One car. This was a Ford. McLaren Olds.
These teams are all teams that have been around for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of them have, and I can't really say for sure. I'm just using the name of a famous team. I think maybe I was just some Formula One that somebody dug up from a junkyard. I don't know,
from a junkyard, God Almighty.
No, it was fine. But I was out on the track there at Riverside, and you're going to hear me and Barbara as we go around the course.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Watch out. Watch out.
Yeah, slow it down, please.
No, I'm not slowing shit down.
Please slow down.
I'm not slowing shit down.
Oh, God. Please don't help.
Oh, what are you going to cry? Look, is she going to start to cry? Yeah, I love it.
Slow it down.
God damn, man. I don't think that's becoming of a gentleman there to put a woman through. Are you there?
Right here. What? I'm sorry?
That was not very gentle of you.
Well, they shouldn't have put her in the jump seat.
She was begging you to slow it down.
And you said, no, I won't.
I didn't say, no, I won't. But she's going, slow down, slow down. And if that anybody tells me to slow down, I go faster. Play it again, Bud, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I want to hear this again. This is Art Griego out on the track there at Riverside back when they still had the track. Is this Riverside? Get him back on the phone, will you, please? Get him back on the phone.
Oh, I hung up on him.
Would you get him back on the phone, please?
Yeah, Art. I'm sorry, I hung up. Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Where was this?
Well, this is at Pomona. This was not Riverside. This is Pomona.
All right, at Pomona, okay.
Or it might be in Ontario.
Well, where was it, for God's sake?
It might have been Ontario or Pomona or Riverside.
Oh, okay. Well, that narrows it down to three tracks. Thank you.
I don't remember. But what's more important to listen to, just listen here.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Ah, yeah, I love it. It's almost like sex.
Please slow it down, please.
No, I'm not going to slow it down. You want to know why? Because you come from England and all you people think you're hot shit.
I don't want to slow it down, please.
Yeah, you think you're all bitching with cars and stuff. Yeah.
God damn you, I wet my pants.
Can I take a look at that? That was really nasty, what I just heard. I think if I heard what I thought I heard.
What did you hear?
I just heard him. She said she was going to wet her pants, and I heard Art. Did you say, Art, can I take a look?
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. I heard that.
Yeah, well, I think I heard it, too.
No, you didn't hear it. You had to ask Henry what he said. But
I didn't say it. You said it.
I thought you said it.
No, you said it on the tape. Play it again.
Oh, Phil.
Play it again. I'm gonna prove to you, Art.
You can't prove diddly sh.
I'm going to prove it to him. Play that again.
All right, wait. I got to re-rack it. And 3, 2, 1, and half a second.
Play the thing, will you? God. Yeah.
You must slow down. I think I'm going to wet my knickers.
Oh, man, but I love to see that. Here, take this camera. Put it between your legs. Uh-huh. So I think we heard everything that we needed to hear there, and it was as crude and foul a thing as I've ever heard.
I said put the camera between your legs for a...
For what?
For a better... For a legitimate reason. It had nothing to do with photographing her.
All right, thank you very, very much. What a fantastic show we've had today. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen...
Wait, you hung up on that scumbag?
Yes, I mean, we're out of time.
Well, I'd like to know,
God, Ms. Gray. No, you won't find all about how He's into water sports and I don't know what's that about.
You two guys deserve a hellish death. A death of fire, a death of steel. Fuck.
Margaret.
No, I...
Okay, way to go, guys.
Well, she's the one that said she wanted to see the piece.
I didn't say I wanted to see a pee movie. If I wanted to see a pee... I can call Art up right now and get any film that he's got. You know what? Why don't you all, as I've often said, all of you together, get down on your backs, open your mouths, because Mama...
Oh, man, I don't want to hear the end of that.
Yeah, you don't want to hear the end of that, because there will be no end of it, because I had the cranberry juice...
It's working its way through.
All right, thank you, and as I said, folks, nice to have you with us here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. I hope that we meet again. I am Phil Henry, and of course, joining us here, Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, we've had General Galen Shaw, and Robert Leonard. Don't forget, a BSP to our website, a backstage pass to our website, is well worth the price of admission, man, because you will then be able to find your way to like 20,000 hours of some of the finest, audio that money can buy. Also our online store, and we will catch you guys on the other side here tomorrow. Thank you so very, very much.
The world famous Phil Henry show is executive produced by Phil Henry. You know, I'm not even gonna do it. These guys are laughing.
Talk about it.
I didn't say anything about pee movies, all right?
The world famous Phil Henry show is executive produced by Mr. Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on the Side Shot Fund.
On the Sideshow Network.
On the Sideshow Network, yeah.
I can tell you right now, I told her to put that camera between her legs so she wouldn't drop it out of the car. It had nothing to do. Yeah, she was going to start urinating.
Was it on video?
Yes, it was on video. Oh, well.